Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Feeling Lighter podcast. I'm Katie with our wonderful co-host, Dr. Lisa Folden.
Hey.
We are here each episode shedding one belief at a time because the reality is how you feel about yourself really does change everything. So I always like to remind people why we're doing this podcast, the mission of this podcast. It's to shed old beliefs so that we can feel lighter and be free. And get more attuned with who we really are and be true to ourselves. So,
absolutely.
I'm really excited about our guest today. Yeah. This is Lisa's first time talking with Sarah Puto, but I've talked with her before, and I was so excited she was willing to come back on and connect with us. Some really incredible topics. So let's dive right in, Lisa. You want to kind of lead us in with her bio, and then I'll introduce her?
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Let's go.
So Sarah Puto, a.k.a. Saggy Sarah, on social media, is a queer body acceptance content creator. She posts photos to assist others in unlearning societal standards regarding different body aspects and overcoming their body insecurities by showing how bodies look different from being relaxed versus posed, and posting about different body aspects such as body hair, cellulite, stretch marks, scars, etc., with the goal of normalizing these. I am so excited to talk to you. Welcome to the podcast again.
So lovely to meet you, and thank you for having me on again.
Yeah, we are. I told Lisa, I'm like, you're going to love Sarah. Mm-hmm. She has a lot of great content on social media.
I'm all over your Instagram, okay? Yeah. I love the tattoos. I love what you're doing.
Thank you.
So I always like to give our listeners a little bit of context. So tell us about how you got into the work that you're doing sort of around, you know, a lot of your social is around bringing light to the fact that social media isn't reality. Mm-hmm. In fact, just a quick like tip, like go check out her Instagram and get some of her merch. She has great merch. But yeah, talk with us about how you got into the work that you're doing and why are you doing this?
Thank you so much for that promotion of my merch. But yeah, I got into this quite interestingly. I used to be a full fitness account back in 2015, and that's all I would post. I would just post about like my workouts and what I ate and just post all of these superposed and flexed photos. And then I kind of started realizing that everything that I'm posting isn't what I look like in reality. Mm-hmm. So I assumed that something was wrong with my body, and all these other fitness accounts that I was following were just looking flexed and ripped 24/7. So then that's when I decided to just go out and post my first post of being like, I actually still have fat on my body, quite a bit of it as well, because in my head back in 2016, I didn't realize that that you would still obviously have fat and look like not flexed while you are relaxed. I think I was just so brainwashed by like all these different fitness accounts and just comparing myself so much to these like still images on social media of all these flexed people, assuming that they look like that. So that's kind of why I started showing like the reality and the relaxed version of myself.
I'm glad you did that. I'm so glad you did that. But can you talk about the transition to that? Like,
yeah, how did that?
How did that work out for you? Yeah. That's a big difference, right? Especially in our very diet culture-y dominated fitness industry in the world. When you make that shift, like, what was their backlash? How did it, you know, how did it show up for you? How did you feel about it? And what did your followers or, you know, the people that were supporting you, what did that look like?
Yeah, it definitely. I mean, there was a lot of backlash, still is. I mean, I think wherever you are on the internet, there will be like hate comments and trolling. But for me personally, throughout this journey, I kind of did it bit by bit at the beginning, just purely because it was such a nerve-wracking and terrifying thing to do, especially because I was like 21 at the time. I was really young and very like easily affected by these hate comments as well. Right. So it would just, for whatever reason, my brain would just pick out a few of those negative comments and ignore all the like positivity that was coming from it, because I think that's how our brains are hardwired. So I started doing it bit by bit, and eventually every time I would go and post something about like a workout or what I was eating or just posting a flexed photo of my body after a workout. I just felt like this really isn't necessary and it isn't helping me and it isn't really like aligning with what I'm thinking in current, like in person, because I was still struggling mentally with the fact that I was over-exercising and eating. My eating habits were very restrictive with regards to like only sticking to like healthy foods, but even what is a healthy food? That was a massive journey for me to slowly, bit by bit, kind of year by year, you could see like my whole Instagram shift. All of the stuff is still up there if anyone wants to scroll all the way down. It's always really cool going back and looking at it.
Yeah. I love that you left that just to give ourselves permission to change and to say, I have evolved. And I think we get really trapped in like, this is my identity. And if I have a different belief, even if that belief serves me in a different, better way, that I can't break free from that. And I know that WeShape has shared a very similar story. Mm-hmm. My co-founder and I, like I told you before, we used to, our old company was a body transformation company. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's completely the opposite of what we're doing now, right? Yep. Which is empowering people to address more movement related stuff and take care of their body in a different way and nurture their mental health and emotional well-being. Yep. So I appreciate that you're like, this is my history. This is a part of who I am. And look at this evolution, right? Because that's what we're trying to do here at the Feeling Lighter podcast and with WeShape. Is giving people permission to detach from that old identity of it has to be this way,
right?
And move into this is my favorite thing about the work that you do, is that we can move into a place of truth and acceptance. Mm-hmm. And I think that diet culture and toxic exercise culture robs us of truth. There are myths around bodies don't have fat. Bodies don't have cellulite. Bodies don't have stretch marks. Bodies don't look like a certain. And that is actually a lie.
Yeah.
And so what I love about the work that you do is you give people permission to shift that belief from bodies, the quote unquote ideal body doesn't have those things, to bodies have these things.
Yeah.
And if we can collectively shift the belief and value around that, then we can provide acceptance for that. For ourselves, for other people. Like I've probably talked about this book when you were on last, but I have a book for my children. I'm going to butcher the name, but it's something like All Bodies Are Cool or something. Mm-hmm. And it just is like 100 different types of bodies. And it's like there are bodies with different hair and different cellulite and different fat and different. And it's like just normalizing bodies.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, that book is like, I want adults to read that book. Right.
Adults should read that book.
Because it just gives an acceptance and a normalization to what actually is versus diet and exercise culture tell us something that isn't even true. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I love the work that you do because it brings truth. And if we can give people permission to detach from that old identity and lean into what is actually real, which is this is what human bodies look like, then I think we can all be a little easier on ourselves.
For sure.
Yeah, definitely.
That around that same idea, you had a post up that I loved. I think you were talking about like you didn't believe, or maybe someone suggested that like getting a stomach tattoo wasn't like a cute or cool thing if you didn't have a flat stomach, and you have like a tattoo like right in the center of your stomach, which I think is just beautiful. I love how you're just shifting our focus on that. But what you seem like you are very accepting of your body, and you talk a lot about neutrality, but what does body acceptance mean and why is it important to sort of have a more neutral outlook on bodies, other people's and our own? How is that affecting all of us, you know, in accepting our truths and in engaging in the world by having more acceptance and being more neutral about our bodies?
Yeah, so I think body acceptance sometimes, especially when you say the words to someone who has spent their whole, like, conscious life hating their body, it feels like that is somewhere that they would never be able to, like, jump up to, because it's just like to go from hating to even acceptance is
A lot.
So hard. It's a lot. I mean, mm-hmm. I can't sit here and say I fully 100% every single day accept and love my body. Like, that would be a lie, because some days those ingrained societal thoughts that have been just like drilled into us through all these years, especially from the 90s and early 2000s, mm-hmm. that's like hard to unlearn even over like a decade. And it will always come back. So that's where body neutrality comes in, where it's more of like a stepping stone to body acceptance, or a thing to like kind of build a foundation on, mm-hmm. because it's just, it's the same thing as saying like, I have a nose that I breathe in air through. It's mm-hmm. like the same thing as saying my stomach has fat on it. So having these like neutral things about your body and constantly repeating that to yourself starts like a new kind of like neural pathway in your brain mm-hmm. to realize like, okay, this is actually the truth. Because when you're told like bodies aren't meant to have fat on them, stomach fat is gross or whatever horrible things that society tells us, to then just be able to say like, stomachs have fat on them, tummies have fat on them to protect my internal organs.
Right.
That I also already think this is a good reminder that we need to reclaim the word fat.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like people are so afraid to say that word mm-hmm. because it has been used in such a negative way.
Mm-hmm. We'll be back in just a moment.
We want to make sure everyone knows about WeShape, the company we founded to offer people a different approach to health and fitness. Most health and fitness apps use shame and self-judgment as tools to push you to exercise more so you can lose weight. But at WeShape, we gently guide you towards approaching your workouts as an act of self-care rather than an act of self-judgment. On top of that, we've invested heavily in a technology behind our workouts so we can deliver a personalized workout plan centered around functional movements you can do from home that will help you feel better in your body. If you want to try WeShape out for free, click the link in our podcast description or go to WeShape.com/free, where you can build your first workout and activate your 2-week free trial.
And now back to the Feeling Lighter podcast.
And so like, can we spend a minute on that? Can we talk about, Sarah, yes. can you talk about reclaiming that word and redefining that word and using that word?
Yeah, I mean, as you said, like, it's been used as an insult and negatively for so many years. So every time we hear the word fat, we put our societal impressions onto that word and project it onto that word. Whereas it's just a word to describe a bodily tissue.
Right.
If you think about it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that's also like, in a way, reclaiming it would be to like neutralize it into what it actually is and mm-hmm. define it as like neutrally. It's a form of human tissue. I don't actually know the scientific biological terms, what it is, but
that's basically it. Yeah. It's a tissue and it is required for us to live and breathe and like function. And when we don't have fat, there are true medical issues that, you know, can evolve as a result of that. So fat is super important, and fat is protective. People don't know that. Fat protects you in many, many ways, physically and physiologically. So, you know, fat is not bad. It's a descriptive word. Like you said, like thin, fat, tall, short, small, like all of these words. And I agree with you, neutralizing them is really important. But it's tough, right? Because, you know, we see that word as it's used as an insult all the time. And I personally, I don't like to prescribe that term to people that I don't know for sure have accepted that for themselves.
Yeah, that's what's tricky, I think.
So
that's
I won't good. Necessarily yeah. describe a person who has not identified to me that they feel that they are fat. I won't say, oh, this fat person. I wouldn't do that because they might interpret it as an insult. Yes. But I, in my household, we have neutralized that term because it's not a mean thing. Someone is fat, someone is thin, someone is in between. But I think having those conversations and seeing where people are so that you know how to kind of communicate. My go-to, if I don't know that fat is okay for them, is just larger bodied, you know?
Yeah.
So
I think that's a really important sort of nuanced piece mm-hmm. that we have to talk about. So it's like, our intention is to neutralize the word and take the power away from the insults.
Yes.
but then also to recognize that this is a we're shifting this value as a culture. Right. And so some people are on that page and some people are not on that page. And so out of respect of other people, to have that perspective for ourselves, but then to do the due diligence to check in with other before we use it to make sure it will not be interpreted as an insult, I think is an incredibly important point. So we've never talked about that on the podcast before. And I am really happy that we did, because I think the more we talk about these things and provide sort of new perspective, the more that many of us can get on that page and begin to neutralize just the tissue in your body. So I really appreciate you kind of speaking to that for a moment. I want to talk about something. I have a question that I wrote down, because I know you have been, you know, in the previously, like, really in the fitness space, and, you know, over, like you said, over exercising, and you were in that world that we used to be in as well. And so you have quote of that context. But I wrote this question down. I said, I noticed you did a 10,000 steps a day challenge on your Instagram. You were doing that. How do we know we are participating in things with the intention that best serves our emotional and physical well-being? In other words, how do we enjoy the experience without getting trapped in doing it with the hopes of changing something about our body? So I was like so interested in that, because I feel like what has happened for me in my journey is I'm like, I'm unsubscribing from diet culture, I'm unsubscribing from toxic exercise culture, and so then I'm not doing, like, I'm taking care of my body in a new way. But if someone came to me and said, do you want to do this challenge with me? I'd be like hesitant because I'm like, is that a trap? Am I going back? So
it's very triggering or activating. For sure.
It's very activating. Mm-hmm. So talk with me about your process, like around how you participated in that, but maybe with a new lens.
Yeah. So I actually got a lot of questions on that when I started posting about it on Instagram. I mean, completely understandably so, because people were concerned that I was like falling back into like old habits of like over exercising. And I think I didn't clarify on Instagram was that it was very much for my mental health, and because I noticed that I used to like going outside a lot more, but I was kind of just staying indoors all the time and just sitting at my desk all the time, just editing and replying to emails. And I just realized, like, I'm not moving my body the way I used to like moving it. And I just wanted to kind of like figure out a way to push myself to do like a challenge. But even with that challenge, I said it was for 21 days, but days where because I do struggle personally with my mental health a lot. And I do have days where I can't just do 10,000 steps, and that's completely okay. So I think when I started the challenge, there was the second or third day I had a bad mental health day, but I ended up being really hard on myself because I did internalize that thing of saying, oh, it's a 21-day challenge, I have to do it. And then having that moment of realization, then being like, actually, that is old thinking. And why do I think like that? And then trying to unpack that and then realizing, like, okay, cool, I don't have to do 10,000 steps every single day if I can't do it. This is just a fun challenge I wanted to do for myself and document and just like develop a new habit to like get myself moving around more, because my legs were feeling like they were quite asleep after like months of just sitting down by my desk. And like, I just wanted to also find new ways to like move my body, because I was kind of like doing the same workouts constantly, and I was like, what would be something fun that I liked doing that I haven't done for myself in a while? So yeah, that was such a good like,
I'm glad that you,
challenge.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you tapped in more to the mental health benefits for sure. But really what I think you're saying is the same way we need to neutralize our bodies, we need to neutralize our participation in fitness and exercise and activities. Because if you say I'm going to do a 21-day challenge, and if you have like these mentalities that I can say me and Katie, I know, definitely have, and this idea that I start something, I have to finish it, I have to do it right, I have to do it perfect, how that's not serving your health overall at all. But if you say I'm doing a challenge, but really above any challenge is being able to check in with myself and see how I'm feeling. And so even if on day two of the challenge, I don't want to, or don't, there's something in me pulling at me and saying, like, you can't do this today, giving yourself the space and the permission to say, No, I'm good. I'm not going to do it.
Insert the real challenge.
Challenge is to take on a challenge and be okay not doing it perfect 100% every single day, and then not beating yourself up when you do that. And almost looking at it as like praising yourself for doing that, for like tuning in and listening. And when we have our We Shape calls, our coaching calls for the community, and what I see for most people is just this idea of shame, like, oh, I missed my workout this week, I didn't do the exercises you gave me. And it's like, whoa, but why? What happened? What was going on in your life? Oh, I was really busy, or I was traveling, or, you know, I was having a hard time with my mental health. And I'm like, well, then that's to be applauded. Like, you prioritized another portion of your health, of your well-being, over just, you know, aimlessly doing 10,000 steps without any regard to how you were really, really feeling. So we're used to like praising ourselves for what we did, how much we lost, how good we ate, as opposed to praising ourselves for like, hey, like I listened to my body today. I listened to my heart, my mind today, and then neutralizing movement. So it's like, it's not good or bad that you worked out or didn't work out. You were doing what you needed in that moment. And so I think that's great. And to sort of have those realizations, I mean, you were kind of young making this transition. So I think that's, you know, awesome and a great example. And it's a part of the reason, like I said, I love your social media. I'm a recent follower, but I just love that, you know, I think you're getting to speak to a demographic that has believed one thing for so long. And now it's like, huh, even the name is like Saggy Sarah. Really? That's what we're going to go with? I love it.
I mean, I think one of the things that you're speaking to, like about your 10,000 step challenge, was something that we have four pillars in WeShape when people come in to WeShape, and one of them is intention. And so I think you're speaking to your intention. If your intention is to stay attuned to yourself and what your body needs and attuned to your mental health, then that's a very different intention than I'm doing this 10,000 step challenge so that I can achieve something, or I can lose body fat, or I can, you know, those are like totally different intentions. Right. So I want to highlight that I think this is a great bridge to highlight that it's okay to participate in fun challenges, but really checking in with our intention and making sure we're connected to that part that best serves us, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's actually reminding me of this, you know, this. Okay, so we went out of town. We went out of town for a week. And I told myself, this week you're not going to be connected to anything work-related. You're going to drop in and be with your kids the whole time. We were at the beach most of the week. And, you know, it was so interesting, because I sometimes probably take for granted this work that we're doing, because I'm just inundated with it all the time, that it's like constantly like feeding new neural pathways. Great. And I took a break from that work for a week. And by the end of the trip, you guys, my self-talk around my body, I was like embarrassed. I was like, I've done all this work and I'm here right now. It's only been 7 days. But then it made me have so much like reverence and respect for like the job that I get to do, because it keeps my brain in this new space. Right. And then it helped me realize like, oh my God, intention is everything. And like, you lost your intention. You disconnected from that intention. Mm-hmm. And so that was clue to me, that I'm sharing that to share, that was clue to me that I had detached from my intention of connecting with self and choosing beliefs and talk and people, you know, just all of it was so disconnected after that week. And so I just love that you can still participate in that.
Yeah.
But also from a very different intention, which will produce a very different outcome that I'm assuming positively impacted your connection to yourself and to your mental health in a very different way.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think to summarize all of it, it is very much all about the intention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And is that sort of what you use to like create, you know, goals around fitness and movement that don't become icky? Is it just like focusing in on that intention for you, or are you considering other parts of you? Like, where do your fitness goals go now? What do they look like now and why?
So basically now I still keep going back to like weight training, because it is intention, but it's also, I guess, like for me, it's so much about mental health and how good it makes me feel. And I don't know, there's something for me about like lifting weights that just feels so, it makes my body and like my mind-body connection just, I don't know how to explain it. It just makes me feel so like good and refreshed and just like kind of like, and having, so I guess like my fitness goals now also, because previously it would be like, oh, work out 5 times a week. But now I'm like, work out when, like if I wake up that morning and I'm like, okay, today's a good day. I feel like I could move my body and I want to move my body and do some weights. I'll do it. But then I won't like look at the week and be like, oh, I've only worked out once this week. Now I need to like do more, if that makes sense. I just, it's very much trying to be in tune with my mind body connection and seeing how I feel and kind of checking in on myself, and also allowing myself to take what I would have labeled previously as little or light exercise as a workout, such as walking or yoga or simply stretching, and just taking that moment to move my body in a way that feels good in that moment.
I love that. And I just so appreciate the work you do around giving people permission to redefine what bodies actually look like, what exercise, how exercise can help with mental health, and how we can dramatically shift our intention. One of my, it always reminds me of my favorite question that people ask when they come into WeShape is like, how many times a week should I work out? I'm like, I'm not your body. I don't know that. And that could change tomorrow, right? So just, I think, continuously bringing light to some of the truth behind some of these messages and giving people permission to lean into a new truth that does better serve our physical and mental and emotional well-being. So I know we don't have a lot of time today, Sarah, because we had quite a bit of technical difficulties before this, but I don't want to let you go without asking the big Feeling Lighter podcast question. So what is a big belief that has shifted for you that has dramatically impacted your life? What's something you used to believe that you no longer believe that's had a positive impact?
So I think it's quite common to say it, and it's something that I've been saying for like the last few years of like, oh, it's really important to make boundaries and learn how to say no. But I feel like only in the last like six months, I've really just become so stern and really just let go of my people-pleasing habits and realizing that I don't need to carry the weight of, or like the responsibility and the weight of the responsibility of everyone being happy, because like how someone feels isn't my job to, you know, just make them feel better or to comfort them. And I think an issue that I had with myself and a lot of like any form of relationships, like family, friends, or like partners, I just felt like, oh, if they're sad, I need to make them better. I need to help them do this. But also just realizing that sometimes you just need to let go of that and just hold space for emotions, good or bad or neutral, and just let it be, and realize that you cannot control everyone and control everyone's reactions to things. And yeah, just being solid in saying no to things as well.
I like that.
That, I mean, I feel lighter just hearing that. Thank you for that permission to no longer do that. So where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram and on YouTube under Saggy Sarah, and on TikTok as Sarah Puto.
Check her out. She has great merch also. I love your stuff. I got to order your shirts. Thank you so much, Sarah, for joining us. We're so grateful to have been able to speak with you and, again, give people permission to lean into that body neutrality, body acceptance, and moving away from old standards. I think it's so liberating. So thank you for the work you're doing.
Thank you so much for having me. I always love chatting to you, and it was so lovely to meet you, Lisa.
Same. Thank you.
Bye, everyone. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope you enjoyed today's show. Now, before you go, it would mean a lot to us if you could take a moment right now to subscribe to the podcast and then leave us a review. This helps spread the word so more people can feel lighter by shedding one belief at a time. Also, we want to hear from you. So if this episode impacted you, or you have any questions that you think would be great for us or any of our future guests, please feel free to email us at podcast@weshape.com. And finally, if you want to try WeShape's different approach to health and fitness, make sure you click the link in our podcast description or go to weshape.com/free, where you can build your first workout and activate your 2-week free trial. See you next week.